Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to the Virtual Cafe. I'm your host, Shaggy Lala Salami. Who have I got here with me today?
The anti-thought ladies. Well, at least two of the 11 anyway.
So 11?
And Jade just skipped out for a moment, but Jade is here also.
Did you say 11? Because I'm sure the last time we spoke, there were like four of you. Was it five of you?
There was five of us the last time, and we have doubled in size. Yes, there's 11.
Okay. So, how'd you guys...
Know who they were? Because I can run down the list.
No, I'm just curious, how do you increase the size so much? That was more than double, in fact. 11. Wow, okay.
Yeah. Well, we were writing a book, and we ran across so many new people and different people. Because I think I said before, we did like 105 interviews in 3 months. And then we ran across a bunch of authors and things, and they were like, you know, trying to get their foot in the door and stuff. And we liked their stuff. And so we asked them if, you know, they would like to write with us, and they started writing with us. So it's 11, and we have 4 books out.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, Anti-Thought Ladies, is that like a publishing imprint, or is that just your brand, or how does it work?
The Anti-Thought Ladies are a brand. What we say pretty much is like, find your journey, it's time. Because a lot of times we are kind of sold this thing in society where we have a specific journey to have children, to have a family, to take care of them, to raise them, possibly to work outside of the house. But we never really find our journey. That's not what society really kind of told us. So
yes.
What we're doing is 11 women who are in different stages of life and from different walks of life, and they're learning how to find their journey, finding themselves. Or some of them have actually kind of finished. Mm-hmm. And we're all looking at them in awe going, oh.
Interesting. Okay, cool. So today I thought you were going to do a reading from one of your books. Which book's that?
We're going to read from And I Thought I Did My Journey Alone, the compilation, mostly because it has poems, new poems. That's a third of the book is like brand new, maybe more than two-thirds.
Okay.
And then the third of it is from different books. It's like from every book we've written, we put the poems that we like together and made a compilation.
Hence the word, a compilation.
Yeah.
Yes.
We did greatest hits, and we're not even that famous yet.
So why do you like poems a lot? Because I noticed that in, well, like you just said it now, duh. You've got poems in all your books. Are you guys big fans of poetry then?
Well, we deal with a lot of issues that sometimes can be very hard hitting. We deal with like financial abuse and emotional abuse, which if I wrote a story about that, you'd probably just cry about it or put the book down and not even think about it anymore.
Yes.
But if you write a good poem, people at least know one or two good poems, and it kind of like sticks in the back of your mind. And then later, if you're in a situation that looks like financial abuse, looks like emotional abuse, looks like you're losing who you really are, it's in the back of your mind, and it'll go off as a warning bell, like, maybe I shouldn't be here.
We also like poetry for the simple reason, this is Winona, by the way, speaking. We like poetry for the simple reason that it's no longer just your story. It's not just my story, and it's not just Jade's stories or any of the other 9 ladies. It's become the story of the reader, because poetry is interpreted to fit that person's life best. And that's
so
we fit into your life the way that you want us to, not the way that we see that we should. Because we don't know you, we don't know your journey, we don't know your story. But poems, they become part of life.
And hence, we always say, find your journey, it's time. It's not find my journey, it's your journey.
So do all of you write poetry then?
Actually, our books are anthologies. There's poetry, and there are short stories, and then I thought being grown up was easy. There's recipes. There's a recipe to a $20 party. Grown up is easy. It's actually split up into 10 individual steps to make biscuits. So the book is actually a recipe. for making biscuits a good part of life, bread, and then it's also a recipe for becoming a better and fuller adult.
Mm.
So that has a play in it. So it's not always poetry all the time. We actually wrote a play for that one.
Ah.
Not in the middle.
Okay, so between the both of you, Wilnerna and Jade, who's the poet, or neither of you?
We both dabble in poetry. Like, I'm more of the poet than Wilnerna is, because Wilnerna is awesome and she can write everything.
Mm. Not exactly
everything. We bottle down before her greatness.
Not exactly everything. I wrote my first pilot script. I can't write scripts well. So I wrote a theater script when I was 14 and to represent my school. And I just wrote my first pilot episode script. And they're like, oh, sweetie, that needs a lot of help.
Yeah, I know. Script writing is really difficult. But then someone said to me, if you can master writing scripts, you can master writing, you know, novels, because script writing teaches you economy of words. Gosh, I sound really smart now. And I just took this from my friend who's a movie director, and that was what he said to me. It's like, Sam just sounded really smart now. Script writing teaches you economy of words.
It does. I think it was easier when I was younger, because like I didn't really know how to move a story forward using character development and scenery and stuff like that. I was more into like what a person had to say. They said it, they got it done, they moved on. And I remember one time reading that if your character has a lot, just pages of dialogue, then you're missing something. You should only speak when a point needs to be like emphasized. Like speak dialogue is like the exclamation point of literature. Well, for me, my book was like dialogue and maybe like 4 or 5 little sections of like scenery and a little character development, and that was just about it.
Yeah.
So like now going to dialogue and like trying to move a story forward, I'm like, but they don't understand what's going on. I have to tell them what the person's seeing, and they're like, that's not what you do. I'm like, but they don't understand. They can't see.
But actually, no, saying that, I actually prefer script writing to regular stuff, because I just want to focus on the dialogue, and I know the emotions are there, and so it's kind of like, in my head, when I'm writing, I always think of a narrator saying what the emotions are, like this, you know, magical narrator that knows what people are feeling, and then the script side where, you know, the characters are just saying what's going on. I think that's a nice merger and trying to balance it out. But then yes, people nowadays, they just want to know, what is this person feeling? Show me, don't tell me, you know, the usual.
I believe the first time we were on your show, you were like, sometimes you have like people spend 3 pages on describing the hotel, and you're like, I could have done without that. You could have just moved the plot forward. Yeah.
Exactly. That's how I prefer to read. I really find it really, when you start describing, right, I literally just, like, even when I read blog articles and I go and I look at it and I'm thinking, right, 1,500 words, do you really think I'm going to read word by word by word? And I just literally just scroll. I see a high, you know, something, text that's been put in bold, put in quotation marks, whatever. I look at that, I go on, I look at that, and then I just close the page because I'm like, seriously, I just do not have the time to start reading word after word.
Well, I think nowadays we have so much packed into one day that we can't even help it.
Yes, but they're actually people who have time on their hands, and I really envy these people. They're like, but I want to know everything. I want the character development. I'm like, oh, I wish I could be you. I wish I had all that time.
Oh my goodness, you're not lying. And I think like the more avid readers I read, they're like, well, no, I like to go home and cozy up with the book instead of the TV. And I'm like, oh, that's the people who have the time. It's you people. Watch some TV, for crying out loud.
Yeah, because you know what I was just saying to you? I haven't even watched any of my regular series in almost a year, right? I can't believe we're almost in January. I think the last time I watched any series was March 2016. Can you imagine? Seriously. And I think it was just one episode I watched, and I was thinking, oh my God, I already have a backlog of things to watch. And you see how much I love Game of Thrones? I still haven't watched anything yet. It's like Mother of Dragons. She's my woman crush Wednesday. What's today? Today's Friday.
Yes, Khaleesi.
Yes, the Khaleesi. It's like, she's just, you know, and I haven't had time to do anything, and it's been almost a year. So I those people that you,
I refuse to start Game of Thrones. I refuse.
Yes,
please, everyone that I know that watches that is like addicted.
But you know what? Okay, seriously now, let me be honest here. Let me be honest. The only reason I watch Game of Thrones is for the Khaleesi. I don't care about the other bits.
I'm sorry, you don't care about, like, the... Oh, my goodness. Wow. Like, I don't even really watch the show. I just read stuff about it, and then I'm like, what happened? Like, when Jon Snow died, I felt like I was thoroughly invested. And how could you...
We didn't watch it! We didn't even watch the show!
Yeah, but that was at the beginning, Derek. After the beginning, after he, you know, all those... After the beginning time, it kind of got boring. Every time I did, I found the rest of it just boring. It's like they just talk, yap, yap, yap. You know what I feel about too much talking? I like a bit more action. So it's like when I just listen to the other bits, it's like talk. And I'm like, finish, please. And then when the Khaleesi comes, I've seen her as like, we will take off your head, off with his head.
Really? Wow. See? Well, I never started it because I think I would be sad.
Okay, I'm going to do a horrible thing right now, and I'm going to plug for my own self, okay? Do you mind, Sola?
No, go ahead.
Since you like action like that, and I hate words the same way like you hate like all those words.
Yeah.
Alice and me write a series, and we just got picked up by a publisher, and it'll be coming out in 4 months, and it's just mostly action and plot.
Okay.
And like it's like 120 pages, and there is 15 plot twists. So about every three pages, there's something new and different going on. Because I can't stand all those, like, and the cement was gray, and I have a lot to say about nothing. No, 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 sweetie. You are here to move a story. You're here to move a story. Let's get to moving.
Exactly, right? And then he was like, oh, she was in touch with her emotions. And I'm like, seriously, there are worse things in life, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, please do continue. So what's this new book called?
The new book is called And I Thought I Did My Journal Alone, a compilation, and I thought book, volume 4.
It's not all of that, but
it's the entire, I did the entire like thing, you know, subtitles.
The title that is on there is And I Thought I Did My Journey Alone, a compilation. Now if you look it up on Amazon, right, it's gonna be like an And I Thought book volume 4.
Right, okay, sorry, I'm a bit confused. Now is that the new one that's coming up in 4 months' time?
Uh-uh. No, the new one that's coming up in 4 months' time is just me, Winona, and Alice writing.
Okay, what's it called?
Our own series, our own everything, separate from the And I Thought Ladies.
Okay, I mean, what is this series called?
The series coming up is going to be called The Widow Series. We're starting off with Widow's Web, and then the second book will be Widow's Deceit.
Well, the title is already sounding quite engaging. Widow's Web.
Actually, if you want to, you can buy Widow's Debt, Volume 2 on Amazon now, because that's the second to the last book of the entire thing. There are 29 books long. The 29 books long series.
So how does the second to the last come out first?
Well, I've been writing it since I was 14 with my friend Alice, of course. And she's been helping me write for that long. But anyway... I finished it, I got to book 27 and 28, and then I went back to work on 27, but 28 was done already, so I just went ahead and put 28 out, and then I'm still working on 29, me and Alice, but whatever.
So is 21 to 26 out also?
Nope, we're starting all over again. We signed a contract for books 1 through 3, but we have like 20 some in between. If we ever get it, if they continue our contract, we will definitely happily continue to write the series until we finish.
So, but then if I get 28 now, will that put me out of sync with the rest?
You'll know who the characters are, but you won't know anything that's going on. So I would start with book 1.
Okay.
And I would wait the 4 months.
Yes, okay. Because again, there's nothing worse, right? Like, so there was this book, and don't even ask me what the author's name is, because that was how annoyed I was with him. Right, and he wrote this book. He wrote book 1. It was really nice, and I thought I had to go and get book 2. Then I read book two and I thought, wow, this is really nice. But then book three was not out. And then I was so annoyed. I was like, how dare you make me wait? You know, I'm going to forget everything that I've read so far. How dare you make me wait, you the author? And this was before I became an author myself. So, yes. I was really, really annoyed. I was like, you know what? If your book was horrible, then that would have been a different kettle of fish. I wouldn't have finished it. I would have just been like, yeah, whatever. But it was nice. I was enjoying it. I wanted to read to the end. I wanted to know what happened. But no, you just haven't written it all up, right? How dare you do such a thing?
Exactly. How many times did that happen, though? But so, like, this works great because for me and Alice, like, all of them are written except for the last of the last book is the only one that's not written. So book 29 is not written.
Yeah.
So if we keep getting picked up, it's like we'll just keep turning out books because they're done already.
Cool. Well, congrats. Well,
so we look forward to it.
Yes, we'll not have to wait. Yeah, so please do drop me a line because again, I'm using this baby brain until she turns 21. I might even push it to 25. So yes, but please do drop me a line. You know, widow's web.
Yes. Widow's web. Is that yes. It? But we're here today, friend. I thought I'd do my journey alone.
Yes, please. We're going to do some reading for us. Go on. So yes, do.
Definitely.
I'm quite interested now. Who's going to start off?
I'm gonna start off Winona, and this is Winona, by the way. So I'm gonna start off reading the back of the book, which is Jade's favorite part, and this is Jade's favorite book. This is probably why we're reading it. So
yay! My vote counted.
So the back of the book says, "Dear traveler, this is the story of 11 ladies spanning 4 generations of life, be it alone, with a partner, friend, intimate lover, or a random person they met along the way. Follow their journey spanning through 4 books as they take a look around and find out where they are in life. Please take their words and find your pathway within their mistakes, adventures, and losses. Happy trails, the And I Thought Lady."
Nice.
And Jade is going to read one of her favorite poems next.
Okay.
Oh, so in this book, we have a traveler that goes throughout the book. And this is the traveler that starts lesson one. Well, let me just read lesson one so you guys won't be confused. Here it is. Lesson one. Okay. A new journey is both sorrow and hope displayed one step at a time. To start a new journey, you will need to leave where you are to save what you have accumulated for a lighter travel. JD. I'm the one that did the quote. And I left behind. A traveler may be walking, running, crawling, or flying. But what is in the rear is left behind. Destiny beckons him to find the inner light of someplace new.
This is Winona, and I'm going to read the next two poems. The first one will be A Shiner, written by Alexis Rose. "What's her problem is my name. Propriety was my claim to fame. Charities for others was my thing. Who had time for anxiety or worrying? Friends flocked to me for my good sense. I saved every dollar, yen, or pence. What is her problem is my name. I live in a transformation game. I am healing, I am dealing. Yet the whispers sound ever crisper. When will she change back? She's mentally cracked. They remember when, on any day with nostalgia, there was a time they couldn't have been prouder. Why does she spend to be happy? Why does she cry? It's so sappy. I will answer all of you now. I am broken, beaten, and bruised. I don't like the reality this has exposed. I ask myself, am I weak every day? If so, how and in what way? I ponder when I stop being the girl you love and know. I want to change from his mold. I can't describe what they can't see. I'm still wounded and bloody. I hate your patronizing smiles and speech. I disapprove of how they see me as a social leech. I need time to find me. I admit to the years that have passed. I don't know why the effects have lasted. I beg you to believe me, the memories are repressed. I say this because these injuries have festered. I know that sadness will jump out at any time. I know my emotions as an improper crime. I cry not to cave in amongst my thoughts. I act foolish to chase off all my pensive haunts. I ramble so no one will know my bones weren't set. I use the cassie of jovialness. I recuperate in a normalcy that breaks my brain callously. I disregard rules not to seem cool. See, I learned they don't apply unless he gave me a black eye. The next poem will be not for me, and it's written by Anonymous. You have 11 ladies and still someone's like, I don't want to claim that one, but I wrote it. But anyway, not for me. When a man beats you with his words, you need to leave. When a man beats you with his fists, you need to leave. When a man gaslights you into thinking it's all your fault, you need to leave. There have been times they say, I love him, he will change. I need to do better, but I'm not leaving my house. We hear excuses saying he's more important than me, your own child. Last but not least, saying for the sake of the children, how easily it is said, but honestly, sometimes it's only about you and him. That's how we perceive it. Do you see the fear in their eyes? Do you notice the tears in their voice? While hearing with ears that no longer listen, Mama, we need to go. Mama, why do you stay? Along with their hopes slipping away and becoming possibly as angry as he. Sure, staying keeps a roof over their heads, but at what cost to their hearts and damage to their minds? I don't mean to offend, but sometimes for the sake of the children is only an excuse. Don't blame me for telling a true part of what happens with abuse. I heard these lines before because I'm one of those children who realized it was never about me. I have emotional scars to show. It was not for me. Jade is now going to read her selection.
Well, some of it, I guess. Here we go. All by Kay and Jade. What is all? I must know it to attain it. The answer is always changing. You look to the old to guide their opinions differ. I am lost trying to get it all. I am striving to have it all. All is always out of reach. Is all love without the fluffery? Am I truly spectacular? Or must I first build a better me? And then a thought of Alexis. Losing footing does not mean falling down. Saying bye to yourself takes strength. But accepting your new self can be a graceful process.
Well, Nona here, and I'm going to read Rambling Thoughts of a Mindless Mind. Everyone talks about the journey to finding yourself and how long it is. I think the road to knowing yourself could be shorter if we learned acceptance when our lives change. There is nothing wrong with us. We just have to accept that we continue to grow. Sometimes it happens before we know it has even taken place. This is when we soldier on the road to discovery. The road has many twists and turns. Often there are falling rocks we must avoid and tumble branches that we must step over. Occasionally we are blindsided because it's dark on this road until we learn the light is ourselves. We just need to put faith in our inner lamp because that is the fire that powers us, fuels us, when we can't walk anymore and the path is treacherous. When the trip is done and we look back, we recognize we didn't just wander aimlessly on a trail. But when on the sojourn, we built a bridge between the person we perceived ourselves to be. Instead, we are 10, 20, 30 steps closer to the person we are destined to be. So keep climbing, sweating, fighting, crawling. Hey, I will admit it, crying too. Because every step is worth the change to accepting you.
Words amongst the bourbon. By Winona Marie and Alexis Rose. You asked me once before what you said that changed my thinking. The words are amongst the plethora of wisdom you spouted. Now over a Jim Beam, honey straight, I contemplate. Your problem is you don't believe you deserve better, so you lower the bar on your life. You made it through more than your fair share of situations, so out of respect for your ability to survive, don't accept anything or anyone that cannot appreciate and find those qualities as badges of honor.
Well, Nona, a note to my scared self. There is no reason for resentment. Yes, life dealt you an atrocious hand. But the game isn't done. Yes, you are down to your last few chips and that velvet green tabletop, but it's why they have a turn card in Texas Hold'em. Do what the name says and hold on. Every decision has odds. Remember that. They are good. They are bad. They make you remember what it feels like to be alive. It's the rush that keeps you there. The addiction to the wooden chips and the smell of the soothing alcohol as balm to open wounds of losing keep you going. There are many hands that pass that way. Loss after loss after loss. But the sounds of the cards skating across the velvet green tabletop, the whoosh of air as the pattern monotonous colored back turns to play its worth, the inability to control the card, the excitement of what if, the hoping against the odds, the realization as the card boards itself, the coping, the adapting, the forward motion of the game as placers plays bets and do the steps you just did. Win or lose, there is another hand dealt at that table if you participate or not. If you save the chips, bet them or cash them in, the game goes on and on. So sit down at the table and play. You should participate in the game because it's your life. All right, so it's been kind of like deep and heavy over here, so let's lighten this up a bit. I'm gonna go with Cupid Shot Me in the Leg. But I'm sorry, I lied. I'm going with Loving a Single Dad's Kids by Winona Marie. So we can lighten it up just a titch. So I met you, right? We exchanged numbers and we slyly smiled at each other, and there was a glimmer, a spark. I felt it. You felt it. 3 dates later, we felt it together. Satisfied with what we had, you brought them into my life. 3 smiling young ones from your ex-wife. That is not a problem, not a problem, not a problem, I say. But the baby drools and pulls my hair. She pokes me in the eyes while the other one is 3. Connects herself to my thigh. She screams every time she sees a cookie, and the word no seems as foreign to her as Mandarin. By the way, why did you teach the 6-year-old Mandarin? Is it something you did for fun? I swear, if she curses me out one more time, I'll douse her with that fake slime. You think it's funny that green poop in people's hair and says it's alien poop? You think it's cute when they take my money and call it loot. They are not pirates, nor a bank thief. One more evening with them and I'll leave, I promise. This time we're going to dinner and the oldest says that their mama is thinner, so I eat less, and you think it's funny because it's honesty? I'm out. And don't you call me to cry and pout. I'm done, childish one. Could you give us one moment?
All right, it's going to be a little longer than a moment. Okay, lesson 6.
Safe passage to a new place, facing new challenges with undiscovered beauty, just waiting. That is why paths are traversed and ships are launched. The satisfaction of curiosity is enough to take me on my destination, Alexa, when I arrive.
Okay, so we're going to go into something a little happier right now.
Yes, happy.
Yeah, we did funny, so now we'll into happy. So Perfected by Renee Evans and Winona. No mistakes, no hiccups, no flaws. Is not perfection. I am the equivalent, the whole, the sum. The total sums of life lived my way, my wiggle, my strut, my love in between my thighs, and I love with the inaccuracy of my lies. This is what makes me a complete puzzle of rightness. Edges making the complete pictures of something I could be proud of in between sunshine and cloudy skies. These are my collage, my truth, or my disguise. What does it matter? This is my perfectly seen and lived by me. I hope Jade doesn't mind. Do you mind if I do my favorite one?
Go ahead.
Yay! She's going to do her favorite one. All right. This is And the Winner Is by Tara Turner. You can't have me. I'm here and you're there. And you don't know how to get me. You can't know what I know. You can't feel what I feel. And you can't do it like I do. It has nothing to do with your smile, your style, or my swagger. I give myself permission to admit I'm better than you. It has nothing to do with your pride, your plans, or your desire. So no neck rolls. Mm-mm. No finger snaps. No ultimatums. On my best stationary spritz with my Jean Patou, you're worth that much at least. And I forgive myself for cheating myself because of you. And you loved me that much harder because you knew it too. Praying I wouldn't open my eyes so that this is my leaving. Sometimes weary, strained to the breaking point with all of your trying. It's no small thing. And I am standing here today straight and whole and pure. My heart beating wildly once I've acknowledged this. No more one more surprised than me. You can't have me. And I realize finally, I will be so much more than just fine.
This is my title deed by the And I Thought Ladies. The titles are a beginning to the journey. But for those who finish it, this is what they're entitled to. We're entitled to leave out to wear our shiners because we decided it was not for me. We take possession of our notes to our scared self and turn a quarter life crisis into something I am stronger than. So we become the relapse statue. Better than the relapse statue, we acknowledge and appreciate the sage I met. We take ownership of what the traveler sees, feels, and knows as wisdom, all our own. This is on my title deed. What's yours? Find your journey. It's time. You're entitled to it. And I left by the And I Thought Ladies. I left behind my shiner. I'm sorry. We're going to share that one. I'm sorry. I forgot.
And I left behind the endless distractions and the chaos without me.
And I left behind the drowning deaths and took another breath.
And I left behind the old college try and intentionally lived my life.
And I let the silence, and I left behind the silence and let the curtain fall while I made my noise.
I enjoyed my resurrected hope, and I left the rest behind to live my life to the fullest. If I may, before we leave, I'm going to drop us off in one sad place, and I promise I'll bring us back up with one thing. So this is going to be from Lesson 5. And I love to read this one as something that helps us remember, as the traveler says, of the people that have paved the path before us. Only You by Kay and Winona. When they say we are sorry for your loss, do they understand what it means to lose? I had to pull the plug. I had to choose. When they say it will be hard, have they heard themselves? Do they know what it means to awaken without them there, to hear their footsteps and know there are no feet? To listen to the door creak, to hear a car pull into the yard, but know it's not theirs, to replay those last words until you can't remember their voice. Do they know? I know those who feel the pain. I see it in their eyes, not by tears. I see their irises bend back and squint. I see their grief in their glints. I see the formation in their tear ducts. I see the walls that they built. I see how their life spark is slightly disconnected. I hear the last embrace that held them in their loved one's arms, and I feel the heartache of a casket in the ground. And the more I look, the more I see them around. And I know only you understand me now. To our late, great, and beloved, we see your footprints cemented in our life. We know they don't continue on and on, but where you stopped is where we began. Know your influence will never end. Our feet don't fit in your imprints. We have so far to go before we grow to fill them. We are the hope of both yours and ours. We understand we are your legacy. We are your statues, your towers. We live this in every second, minute, culminated into hours. Written by the hearts and grief of all those who lost someone. And as promised, with 2 minutes left on the clock, we're bringing it back up. A traveler may return as poor as when he left, but it's the pathways that he traveled that gives him a wealth of treasure to dispense of whenever, because it's at his discretion that gives him wealth that is unimaginable.
And we're done. Sagola?
Sorry, my microphone was on mute because I was laughing at some point. It was such an emotional read that I said to myself, if I didn't mute this camera, you guys would just hear me just cackling and going, ooh. And I was just like, when Wilanna was reading, I was just thinking, you know what? I can actually imagine myself being on an open mic night, you know, at some cafe, let's say in like Soho or somewhere in East London. You know, I've got some nice hot chocolate or some mulled wine, and I was just listening to you guys. That was a fabulous.
Wilanna is the best. I don't know why she makes me read all the time with her. I'm not as good as you, but you know what? I try anyway. But everyone who has dyslexia out there, you can do it too.
yes. No, definitely. That was an enjoyable read. You know, and I think the best bit, you know, and you know what? I'm just glad, you know, you said it, because when she was just reading it, it was like her voice, she could take on the, how am I going to say this? She could take on the voice of the character, you know, the highs and the lows. And it was like, I can actually see her dramatizing this at an open mic event. Like, seriously, Wilanna, your talents are being wasted behind the screen. You need to go to open mic nights.
I do. Every once in a while. I go to three or four a year. That's just about it.
Okay, but then when you do yours, how do you do yours? Like, do you do one of those ones where you just stay with the mic and you're in one place and you're just reciting, or do you actually dramatize? Because I've never been a big fan of poetry, right? But then there was one that I saw on TV. I can't remember if it was on Facebook, but it was a video, right? And it was this South African girl. I don't think she was more than 13, right? And she had like this basket or calabash, and literally when she was doing, she was moving, and it was almost like she was the ocean, right? The way she was just swayed, and she just grabbed you. I don't know how to say, but if you could do that, I swear to God, right, you would be phenomenal.
It depends on what the crowd is, because sometimes we do it with sign language interpreting.
Performance, sign language
interpreting.
Okay.
Because we're both in sign language interpreters. But okay. Jade is so much better at like performance sign language
interpreting. Which is great because, again, I have dyslexia. So it's kind of nice to not have to read and be sweating it out in front of people.
Yes. Yeah, really, no, but I think it's the performance, because when you do that, even people who don't like poetry, you just sort of, you've just grabbed me. I feel like I'm in love with you already. Well, actually, you know, I'm in love with your voice.
Yes. And hence why the audiobook will be coming soon, and Wilanna reads a whole bunch of it.
Please do. Please do. Because I can actually imagine your voice is one that just, you know, when the listener is doing something and you just change the pitch of your voice, it just sort of takes them, just drags them from whatever they were doing. Like, I just need to pay attention to what this lady is saying right now.
Well, thank you. Wow. I might be considering a new career here. No, I'm joking.
No, seriously, do though. Because, no, seriously, I'm not even kidding. See, I'm one of those people that I not want to give compliments very easily, because especially if I don't feel like I'm being as honest as I could be. So with you, hands down, and that was part of the reason why my mic was on mute, because I just didn't want, you know, the enjoyment that I was having to, you know, to come across, you know, in your reading and to distract you. But no, definitely do consider it.
Okay, I definitely will. And once again, I'm plugging myself. I apologize, but I am a large part of the new. We're reading this for an audiobook, and I thought I did my journey alone. And yeah. I am a large part of that book, reading it. But then we gave it to the other ladies as well. So there's all five public faces, and a few of the ones who aren't public faces, they read as well.
Oh, cool, cool.
The bulk of the book that I read.
I mean, it's what's it called? You do a good job in reading it, and it's very engaging. You know, so because definitely whilst you were reading, you know, I found myself, you know, sort of sometimes instead of myself to get distracted with I don't know what cartoon is playing in the background. I was you know, paying proper attention to you, which was absolutely great. But then, quick question though. You mentioned Tara Turner. Is she part of you guys now?
She wrote a couple of poems for us in our book, which was kind of awesome. So we open our open arms and we're like, you're a lady too. You can be an And I Thought lady too.
Oh! We have books and such on the And I Thought Ladies TV show.
Sorry?
That's why she has her own show, Books and Such, on the...
segment of her show.
On our channel. So, yeah. Mm.
Nice. Well, thank you so much for coming, you know, on the show and doing, you know what, you guys are simply the best. You know, you love me so much and I love you guys as much. You know, you come on the show and you always bring such amazing aura. And sorry, well, today we didn't even offer you any drink, but then the little human's asleep. She's falling asleep with me now, so sorry.
She got us some water before we started. She was like, y'all want some water? Thank you so much. We did. Thank you.
It was a pleasure to be here.
It was. Thank you. As always.
Definitely. Yes. Oh, by the way, if any of your listeners wanted to check us out, we will be in Las Vegas on television on WCOMB on January the 20th. And on January 12:30 to 1:45, and on January the 23rd from 6 to 7 p.m.
Okay.
I think we're actually going to do a televised poetry reading in April in California. Date pending. They just invited us out last night to come out and do a poetry reading there.
So guys are amazing. You guys are all over the place.
We try.
We're kind of sad, though, because we had kind of planned on coming back to England to do some television over there in April, but it looks like we're going to have to push that, see if we can get a new date for that one so we can do California.
Mm-hmm. See, you guys are putting me to shame that I'm here and I haven't even tried to do anything. It's like, I'm just lazy. I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to stay in my PJs and just do my podcast from my bedroom.
Well, you have a podcast, and it's a very great podcast, and so many people out there agree with us when we say you have a good podcast, so you don't need to.
Oh, thank you. See, now I'm blushing. And I have to do that Will I Am thing, right? I don't know if you ever watched that episode of the Voice UK, and then he has to say, I have to tell you that I'm blushing. So I just have to do that Will I Am thing now, so yes. But thank you.
Oh, Will I Am is on the UK one?
I don't know. I've not watched it again. You know, like I was saying, I haven't watched TV in like forever. But when this was before the little human came, before there was ever a little human, right? He was on one episode of The Voice UK. And there he did this thing where he was blushing. And then he had to say, well, I have to tell you that I'm blushing. Because again, I'm dark skinned. So that. So yes, I latched onto that because I thought it was so hilarious. And yes, but that was a good few years ago. You know, Little Human Estus was well before she turned two. Before she was even born. What am I saying? Before she turned two? Yeah, before she was even born. So yes, wow. he was in The Voice UK.
Nice. I did not know that at all. It's so hard to keep up with like what goes on in the UK while you're in the US. It's like the US is US concern.
But you know what, right? That's the thing about Americans. You guys just, you know, you guys are just in your nice American bubble. No one cares. But then everybody else, everywhere else, we always try to know what's going on in America because you guys are like the eye of the storm. Whatever happens to you guys, it affects the rest of the world.
Ah, so I see. So I understand now. I gotta admit, though, I do love y'all's news over there.
Oh, it's so awesome. I love the BBC News and whatever other news there is. I love it.
Sky News. I'm actually more of a fan of Sky News now than I am of BBC News.
Oh, really?
A little lighter.
Ah, see, I don't watch news at all. I just find it quite depressing every single time. There's always bad news. Never a time when they say, oh, here's a good news. Here's something light. Here's something good happening in the world. It's always depressing.
It is. It's always depressing. But you would love it here because we have a lot of fluff on our news. But a whole lot of fluff. And it's very fun.
Interesting.
Yes. So, you know, consider moving with the little human.
No.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen.
And then she might be able to do her podcast all the way over there. No, it's all good.
Yeah, but no, I don't want to because I've been to America once and once only in my life. And your build is as much as I'm sure the interior is nice. The outside just has no character. I look at it and I just thought, seriously, I want to be able to walk down the street. Apart from the fact that I find your roads, you know, quite intimidating, but I want to walk down the street and I want to be able to see beautiful architecture. And yeah, I was in Florida. Where was I? Palm Beach. And the buildings just did not have any character to it.
You weren't even in the right spot for character. You have to come to some of the colonial places like Williamsburg,
New York for the Deco Art Deco Age.
New York. So yeah, be very careful. Maine has a lot.
Yes.
Upstate New York has a lot.
Southern California, if you go to like the older sections, they have really cool architecture going on from the 40s.
Okay, so I'm around the Annapolis area, so Annapolis, Maryland has a lot.
Yeah.
Of really nice things
to look at and buildings to see. But yeah, when you go to Florida,
that's commercialism.
To have fun and do commercialism. Now, if you want architectural, amazing commercialism, you go to Vegas.
You're probably going to get a lot of comments about that. People are going to hate us. Don't hate us, you guys. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Like, please don't hate us.
But I'm like, who you know in Palm Beach? Because that is one of the richer sections of Florida.
Well, no, because I actually had to go there for an interview. This was a couple of years back.
For an interview,
and that's nice.
Yeah, and you say we travel.
That was once and once only in my life.
It only takes one. Oh my goodness, I'm sorry.
But then I wasn't too impressed. You know, I thought I was because again, you know, I always hear about Palm Beach, Florida. I had high expectations, but I was actually very, very disappointed with everything. The only thing good for it was that when I came, I could feel the heat in the air.
Right.
That stuff that you do not get in London.
Mm-hmm. I remember when our plane came, I was like, I'm going to London, and then it started coming down, and I was like, oh right, it's rainy, cold, and cloudy. Dagnabbit, but I want to go home. I was going to say, but you had to at least love the sun. It was out every day there, right? Thank you.
Yes, it was hot. So that one and I didn't even have to wear a jacket. That was amazing. Oh, you know what? We're getting carried away, but I will just have to say this. I then had like proper, straight from the ocean, because it was like, is it mahi-mahi, something that tastes like salmon?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh my good Lord, that was lush. That was very lush. That was very lush.
Because like when we were over there in London, the people kept saying, oh, you'll get famous over here and then you'll have to move. Yay. And I was like, yay, that would be so cool to like live in Europe. Yay. Hold up. No mahi mahi and no sun? Oh no, I'm staying. I'm not going. Nope. I told you, like, we in order to recuperate from like the no sun thing, we just ran. We like got on the quickest flight we could to Barcelona and just like slayed in the sun all day.
It was yes. But the good thing about staying in London, though, is that you can travel all over Europe. You can go to Malta. You can go to Barcelona. You can go to all these nice, funky places and have fun. And you can even go to Germany as well.
Is Germany fun? And like, I meet a lot of very cute people there.
From there.
Yeah, but
I've never been. But apparently, I've got friends who have been. And they say it's nice, but you know, for me, I'm a London snob. Nowhere is as good as London to me. So I try not to go too much. And I know it's bad because sometimes I see on Facebook someone goes, "Oh, I'm going to London for the weekend," and I'm like, "Yes, that's why you should live in London, so you don't have to." Yeah, for the weekend, it's like, you know, they make such a big deal out of it. Whereas for me, it's like, yeah, that's why I live in London. You know, so that this is home. It's natural. And the one time that I went to Venice. And I was just comparing, and then I went to Paris, and literally in my mind, everything that I do is compared to London. I'm like, nope, not as good as London. Nope, not as good as London. Nope, not as good as London.
Okay, the food had to be better.
No.
Okay. Not as good as London, okay? He's a London snob. Nothing is ever going to be as good as London. And we understand. You have to be able to have it. Like, I would say, nothing is as good as my mother's cooking. I don't care what anyone says. You can say your mother's the best cook on earth, and that's nice. My mother's not eating your mother. Thanks.
Yes, yes.
Very true.
Very, very, very true. But yes, London's amazing. And then there was that thing, right? Somebody then did this thing that made me cringe. So I was there when I found a way to cross your road. And I thought I would go and try American McDonald's.
Oh, so, don't ever do that.
Yeah, so I just thought, you know, I managed to cross your road. I was quite impressed with myself. and the person who was serving the, I don't know if you say not receptionist, I just forgive my brain, right? So she then goes, "So where's your accent from?" And I go, "London." And then she goes, "Where is that?"
Right.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like,
I tell you, when I travel in Europe, that's the first thing I say. They're like, "Oh, I'm from here." And I'm like, "I'm American." And they go, "Oh." And I'm like, "Thank you." Respect your citizens. Where is that exactly? And they're like, "Oh, you're American. I'm sorry." Right. Uh-huh. Let me explain where that's from. Okay, so you know this place? Yes. Okay, so if you go up, it's a whole nother country that you don't know about. Thank you so much, sir. I've learned so much. I mean, I do know where London is, and I know where a lot of other countries in Europe are. So every once in a while, you run into somebody, you're like, "Where? Where is that exactly?" And they're like, "Oh, yeah, American." I'm like, "Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for my education. I can't help it." But okay, here we go. But we got to keep it clear, though. We don't know where the majority of our states are either. So it's not a problem.
Just like, and then Ohio, and then the stuff in the middle, California. And then those two states above it, I don't know. Canada. There it is. Bam. Bam.
So literally for Americans, America sometimes is made up of New York, Florida, California, and then there's Canada.
And then there's Texas, and then there's California. So you're missing about 40 some states. So don't feel bad. Don't feel bad.
So we definitely don't know where your country is.
I mean, even on the news here, they're like, you know, a middle America. They don't even name the states. They just call it middle.
Or the flyover states.
The flyover states, the things that's between the East Coast and the West Coast, those places, and Texas. Anything between here.
We call it flyover states.
Fly over it, because nobody's going there. So, yeah.
My head.
Don't feel bad. There's a lot of people that don't know a lot of stuff. Just, when we say, "Oh, okay, we're from Annapolis, Maryland," which you would think people would know that because that's where one of the two naval academies are of the nation. And they're like, "What?" You're like, "Near D.C.? Oh!
So you live in Washington, D.C. Yeah, yeah. We just
yeah.
Yeah.
That's where we live. I live right there.
Okay, I'm finished. So we're gonna stop making fun of our own country now. No,
we're not making fun of people in general.
True, yeah.
It's people in general.
I'm sorry.
And people are gonna hate us now. But hey, you guys out there know that we sometimes are the very same thing. You'll be like, you're from where? They're like Kansas. They have more than two cities in Kansas? I didn't know. What?
There's Topeka and Kansas City. What else?
What else is there? There's something else? Somebody you live somewhere else in Kansas? They're just not split in half? I don't get it. So we're like that too. So
oh my God. You know when your jaw just hurts so much?
Oh my goodness. I'm sorry. We're back.
Just give me a second. I need to sort of put moisturizer to get my jaws to loosen up a bit.
Okay.
Okay. I think at this point we've laughed too much and we've deviated from the read, and people are gonna go, who are these three crazy women that I'm listening to?
Well, I thought, ladies, please don't hate us. We were talking about our stupidity too. We have to be like, where is that exactly to a lot of people?
This is Winona, but my father, whenever he meets people, he'll be like, yes, and that's that city that's like 8 miles from this place. Because he like studies maps down to the T.
Like European yeah. maps, like every map. When we go to Europe, when I go with Winona to Europe and her father is there, the people are like, oh, and I'm from this. And he's like, okay, so in Ukraine, are you saying that you're close to this city? They're like, yes! Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying! He was like, I always wanted to meet somebody there. Let me shake your hand, sir. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to tell somebody I met someone from there. Thank you.
I'm still like, huh?
He was like, it's right here on the map! What map?
That's what Google's for.
Yeah.
Millennials over here, we're like, let's just Google where you
Also, in the company of our friends who like live in Thailand and live like in, they'll go to Japan and they live in, or they'll go live in South Korea for a few years or stop by in Myanmar. You're like, you're doing what? They know where stuff is because they like live in different countries for funsies.
Yes.
But like, we are like, no, if it's not in, this is Winona, for me, if it's not in Western Europe, I'm probably not going.
Or knowing about it, probably.
Or knowing about it, so, yeah. I'm kind of sorry. Anyway, let's get off the subject. It was a pleasure. Yes.
It was a pleasure.
And can I ask you, would you mind if I ask you one question?
On me, sure.
On your, I don't want to feel like I'm interviewing you on your own show. Winona. People do that.
Okay.
Anyway. Go on.
How excited are you about your upcoming one on January the 27th, your interview on January the 27th?
Huh?
The producer?
Let me get my...
The reality TV
producer? Oh, yes! Sorry, baby brain again.
I wasn't sure if you wanted to shout that out yet, so I was just like...
Well, you've already brought it out now, so I might as well just open my calendar again, because again, I have to use the whole baby brain thing, so you'll just have to excuse me for a second.
No problem.
Oh my good Lord, my head. Right, yes! So it's this lady, and I don't even know what if she's happy for, but anyways, it's fine. So she's called Brandy Miller. So we're going to be recording the episode on the 27th of January, and then it's going to go on the podcast feed sometime in February, end of February, kind of time. And so she's looking on starting this 40-day reality TV. Right, I think that's. Let me see if I can find her website. I think it's called 40 Day Writer or something like that. So basically, it's from when I read her website, it's kind of like. See, when I think of it, when she said it. I read it. It was kind of like, you know, when they do, you know, there's one of those dating show where there is like one guy and like five women are competing to get his, you know, his attention and stuff
the
like
bachelor?
That. Yes, something like that. Yes. So I think it's kind of like that. So you're going to have 40 writers. They're all going to be competing to have a publishing deal.
That's going to be so cool.
because I think someone was saying that wouldn't that be nice to have something for authors? And so that's what she's going to do. Let me just go and see. I'm sure it's her website is 40daywriter.com, and she's getting, you know, heads up, you know, even before she's come on the show. So yes, that was why I invited you guys, you know, because I think you guys are amazing. Sure, you guys will probably interrogate her proper. So yes, it's 40daywriter.com/ just forget about the forward slash, too long. Just 40 days. So the number 4 and the number 0, so figures. 40daywriter.com. That's the website. So if you want to go find out more about it before then. So it's a lady called Brandy Miller. So yeah, so if you go straight on her website, you would see the link that goes in where it says, imagine it, 40 writers compete over 40 days to finish, polish, and pitch their manuscripts to big 5 publishers who compete Shark Tank style for the rights to publish them. That's the premise of the 40-Day Writer reality TV show.
I'm so excited about this. Also, are you going to try to be a reality TV star there, Segola?
Heck no, please. I like staying in the comfort of my PJs in my bedroom.
She didn't say that you couldn't write in your PJs. It'd just be cameras. Just
add cameras. She doesn't want millions of people seeing her on PJs. I get it.
No, definitely not.
A lie, like I sincerely wanted to, like, I was like, I had this idea of a reality TV show for authors because everyone says like they've tried it before and it was boring, so I'm like, yeah. I was really excited when she came up with this concept, so I was like, yay, so excited. But mine, because I'm narcissistic like
oh
that,
my goodness,
on your show I'm being narcissistic, this is so ridiculous. But mine was like, so like if you took writers who write from life, I mean who literally just write about their life, like the nonfiction write about their lives thing, and then like kind of watch what happened in their lives and then saw what like the book that happened at the end. I thought that would be kind of cool. One, for the revenue stream of the show, and then two, for the revenue stream of the book. I was like, that would be so cool. And especially if you had a group of 11 ladies, if anyone out there is listening.
For the end, I thought ladies, but that's a lie because nobody wants to do it. We want to be like Segola and sit in our pajamas and write our books. That's what Jade wants to do. I love it. It is really funny. Winona took this picture of me and put it on Twitter, and I was writing my poems out in a book by the fire, like drinking bourbon or something, and and it was like, is there any better way to spend the evening? No. Hashtag awesomeness.
I can tell you a better way to spend an evening, but you see, right, that's only in my fantasy. I don't think I would ever do it. I don't think, but this is my fantasy, right? You know, in London, we get rubbish weather, but we hardly get snow. Once in a while, we get snow and then everything comes to a standstill. The whole country comes to a standstill when London shuts down when we get snow, right? So the perfect way to spend an evening is if I was, say, in the Welsh countryside or in the Scottish countryside, right? Oh. In a cabin or in a nice cottage, right? With a proper fireplace, not the electric one, the one that, you know, I've got some nice honky bloke to go and chop wood and put, you know, a nice fire in the fireplace, because I'm not going to chop no wood, right? And then I've got my nice, extra large dressing gown, and I'm sitting in front of the fireplace with a tankard that's my mug of hot chocolate, and I've got croissants, and I've got a paperback, a hardback book, that I'm just reading. No electronics.
That's
I'm just reading. And then my nice honky guy is giving me a foot rub.
There it is. But yeah, absolutely. And see, you guys are listening to authors, so you know I like to be boring, right?
See, now, when I was asking LA what my favorite fantasy day would be like, I was like, I prefer to have bourbon, a beach, plenty of gorgeous people walking back and forth, and a book. But yeah, it has to be like warm weather. I can't do this cold thing.
Yes, but then you can do cold when there's a nice fireplace, and it's like there's that feeling when you've got your nice robe surrounded around you.
Yeah. It's true.
See, but I'm not going to go and try to take it, you know, out of the comfort of the parental guidance of this show. So we'll just leave it at that.
I was just about, when you said my fantasy evening, I was about to say, Segola, you run a family show. You know that, right?
It's not a moment for that book that everyone has read around the world. It's not that kind of moment.
Not right here. Anyway.
But anyways, you know what? I'm going to chuck you guys out now because you guys just bring the worst in me.
Or it could be the best, just in a different viewpoint. Depending on how you look at it.
Well, the good thing is the little human, she's asleep now, so that's fine. But I'm just going to say, you guys, you bring out the worst in me. That's my story, and that's how I'm sticking with it.
Okay.
All right.
Blame it on the Americans.
Yep. Well. Yes! Americans are good to take the blame for a lot of things.
I understand that.
Yes. So, I am kicking you guys out. Thank you.
Our website, and then you can kick us fully out.
Okay, go on then.
Okay, you can check us out, hopefully not to like lay us out, but just to check us out at www.andwethought.com.
You can also do Blog Talk Radio, podcast, Roku TV, all of that is on that website, on the podcast/show tab.
Perfect. Thank you very much. So now I can officially kick you guys out. Kick you guys out. Sorry. Okay. Bye now.
Bye.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.